Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that judges can use their discretion and sentence juvenile offenders to life in prison without the possibility of parole. That opinion essentially limits an earlier high court ruling that said the life sentences for young people could not be mandatory. Retired Judge Jay Blitzman served as First Justice of the Middlesex County Juvenile Court. He's also co-founder of the group Citizens for Juvenile Justice and a founder of the Roxbury Youth Advocacy Project. We asked him if he thinks last month's Supreme Court decision in the case Jones versus Mississippi marks a reversal for the high court, which in the past decade has put limits on harsh sentences for those convicted of crimes before age 18.
My concern about Jones versus Mississippi is that it might signal a retrenchment from a body of case law, which had clearly indicated that children are not little adults, and that immediate impact of the sentence will only directly affect the handful of states that now have that as a criteria. However, it creates the ability for each state to enact any type of sentencing regime in terms of making a rather consequential decision, whether or not a juvenile should receive the ultimate penalty of life without parole, since death penalty was abolished. And experience has shown whenever there's that degree of latitude in discretionary sentencing regimes, there are really adverse consequences, notably dramatic disparities and increases, unfortunately, in racial and ethnic disparity. So I'm concerned, as I think others are, about less of a reliance on science in making these determinations.
You know, after the Supreme Court ruling in 2012 that said that juveniles could not be automatically sentenced to life without parole, 31 states in the District of Columbia banned those automatic sentences, Massachusetts among them. So could this ruling have ramifications here in this state? And what do you think that those ramifications might be?
So the good news for Massachusetts is that our Supreme Judicial Court jurisprudence has been a little bit different. And I don't think it's going to be affected by the Jones versus Mississippi decision, because what the Supreme Courts do is they set the bottom floor guideline. It doesn't set the ceiling. In other words, each state can, under their interpretation of what constitutes cruel and unusual punishment, do different things. So Massachusetts, at least, yes, juvenile life without parole is constitutional, but there has to be a right to a hearing to determine that. And it should be rare. It should be reserved for a very, very limited category of juveniles. And it's been interesting to see what's happened in Massachusetts in terms of actual parole decisions. I think, and I really don't know the exact number, but I think about 40% have been paroled. But that's a guesstimate, quite candidly. But in this regard, the lack of more guidance, I think, is concerning, because otherwise we live in a world of justice by geography. And why should where you live affect such a consequential determination?
This ruling comes as we're having this national reckoning on criminal justice reform and racial injustice. So what does that suggest to you about a message from the court at this time?
It says, we'll leave it to each of the states to do what they think is appropriate. And I think that's a derogation of responsibility. I also think the opinion itself is somewhat disingenuous. But fundamentally, I think when I say it's a derogation or lack of an opportunity to provide some guidance, is we're at a stage now where any type of a policy or indication of policy, which just sends a signal that it's not necessary to revisit how we look at these issues, I think is really, really unfortunate. Because again, discretionary sentencing without guidelines will fuel greater racial and ethnic disparity, I fear, at a time when the converse is needed. When you look at the data about who it is who gets transferred to the adult system, we're talking, in addition to the murder cases, our system is predominantly Black and brown. And it's connected to how we police. And in fairness to police are a reflection of cultural and societal norms. They don't exist in isolation. Sure, banning chokeholds, body cams, that's axiomatic, right? But it's this whole model of policing. We've got to revisit using police, I submit, as a form of control and social surveillance. Police should be there to protect and serve and to heal community. You know, we focus on accountability on a given case, as occurred in George Floyd's murder. But to really get to justice, we've got to embrace the, I think, the underbelly of the beast. And that's systemic racism.
Judge Blitzman, I want to say thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it.